Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. So as you're probably aware, this is supposed to be the season 6 wrap-up, but it's not titled season 6 wrap-up. Funny story. Usually in our wrap-ups, we love to have enemy of the podcast, Alex, on so he can give us, you know, his first time experience watching this season of Glee. But Alex, being the enemy of the podcast that he is, decided that he was going to sabotage our podcast in its final days and make us delay the finale. What he did was have his kid get sick on the day we were supposed to record. And he had to go be a good dad and take care of his kid. And so we had to postpone recording. And the only other day that worked in our schedules was after today. So unfortunately, it is postponed until next week. Genuinely, we feel very bad. We offer our sincerest apologies, especially considering that we had the writer's strike, so we were gone forever, and then we took a break for the holidays, and we just came back from that. We're very, very sorry to skip a week again, but to make up for it, at least somewhat, we are releasing a little snippet of a Patreon-exclusive episode to sate your appetites until we get back to Glee next Wednesday for our Season 6 wrap-up. So without further ado, from the vault, here is a segment of our episode on High School Musical 2. Love you, bye.
Ian and Lena, making bonus content. Ian and Lena, making bonus content.
Fetch me my Jimmy Choo flip-flops. Where is my pink Prada tote? I need my Tiffany hairband. Then I can go for a float, summer like never before. I want more. Which is a little snap. Oh, incredible. Here's one of those moments where it's like young Ian really was in a closet of glass. Is this premiered, set the scene. It's the Allred household. August 17th, 2007. We had like a viewing party for this movie because of course we did. We were tweens in 2007.
Had
the viewing party. What a time. This number, Fabulous, stayed with me more than anything else in the entire movie to the point that I woke up early the next morning to go on our TiVo and turn the movie back on just to watch this song again and nothing else.
God, I haven't heard the word TiVo in so long. Not to derail the conversation to TiVo, but to this day, my family, each one of us, still call fast forwarding like back, what, like back, we call it badoop badoop doing. We go badoop badoo.
Yeah, badoop badoop doing.
Yeah, but we call it like, hey, Aubrey, badoop badoo. You know, like, oh my God, TiVo. I agree so hard on Fabulous. Keep going.
Oh, I was just going to talk about TiVo.
Oh, talk about TiVo, and then we'll go back to Fabulous.
Okay, I was just going to say, I might be wrong about this, and because I'm on a ship, I don't have the ability to just, like, Google it. I'm fairly certain that the reason that TiVo isn't, you know, around anymore, and it's just general DVR, is because the person who invented TiVo forgot to put a patent on it, forgot to copyright it. And so people could just legally steal their idea, and they did.
Hey.
And then TiVo just kind of fell by the wayside, which sucks.
Hey, rest in peace, but you made an impact on my family, at least.
True.
That sucks.
True.
Man, I would hate to invent something so helpful and cool and then forget to patent it. And that's why I think God didn't give me an inventing mind.
I agree. What were you saying about Fabulous?
I was saying, I agree so hard that, like, Fabulous, like, fully, like, made an imprint on my mind to the point where I remember every single minute of that dance that she does, especially, like, the beginning, but, like, it's out with the old and in with the new, goodbye clouds of gray, hello skies of blue. Like, I know the whole dance, but there were full scenes in this movie I forgot existed. I was like, this happened?
Same.
This happened? I was like, when does this happen? When does this happen? But not that scene. Not that scene.
So, did you watch it on Disney Plus?
I did.
So, the Disney Plus version has Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apawa'a added back in, which is
blew
was cut
my mind.
On the original version.
I was not anticipating that.
I was in the same boat where after I saw Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apawa'a, there were several scenes that I was like,
this also must be a cutscene that they
I literally no, for real. I was like, this must be like a weird cut. I have no idea what this is.
I'm certain I've never seen this before.
Right? And it's like, no, it's probably just that, like, you know, 6 minute bit that, you know, I was convinced. So much of it. Wow. High School Musical 2. I'm so excited to talk about it with you. I took lots of notes. I don't want to ask you how you felt about it right now, but maybe I do. How do you want to talk about High School Musical 2? HSM 2.
We got to talk about that Hacksack Max first.
Oh, Hacksack Max. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for the Hacksack Max.
Yeah. You want to just get into those?
Hell yeah.
All right. Ba-ba-ba. Hold up. We're good. Okay. So some Hacksack Max about High School Musical 2. It premiered. Okay. Taking it again. this is officially the Hacksack Max.
Perfect.
Oh yeah, it's time for the
Hacksack Max 2.
High School Musical 1. If you don't know it, listen to our Patreon episode. We already covered it. It was a runaway success. It was such a mainstream hit in a way that no Disney Channel movie had ever been before. And honestly, has ever been since. You know, like, Camp Rock did pretty well. Like, Cheetah Girls 2 did pretty well. Like, there are those ones that did better than others. But, like, nothing has ever touched the grip that High School Musical had on mainstream culture. So, they decided to make a sequel the following year. High School Musical 2 came out on August 17th, 2007. It was written by Peter Barsocchini, same guy wrote all three movies, directed by Kenny Ortega, of course, of Xanadu fame and Descendants fame and a million other things. He directed all three movies. Since it was such a highly anticipated movie in the summer of Disney Channel, no, in the summer of 2007, during the infamous Disney Channel summer, I know
about that.
Disney Channel Summer was very important to me. I still remember. I think it might have been summer 2007. If it wasn't, it was like summer 2006. When the Disney Channel Summer ad was set to Pumping Up the Party by Hannah Montana.
Mm-hmm.
That, anytime I hear that song, which, no hate to Hannah Montana, is one of her weaker singles. But anytime I hear that song, it gets my blood pumping in a way, because nothing is more exciting than the summer when you're 11 or 12 years old.
No.
I hear that song and I'm like, it's summer 2007. Let's hit it.
Pumping Up the Party now. Right? Honestly. I concerned myself with the Disney Channel summer games more than I have ever like gotten excited for the Olympics. I was like, this is it. This is the game of the century. Like these like teenagers playing like tug of war. I was like, this is it.
I think we've spoken about this. I had a recurring dream that I was on the Disney Channel games because I wanted to be on Disney Channel so bad as a kid.
I kept having a dream. That's awesome.
That I was, you know, like on the freaking yellow team with Jason Earls. The Duke of Earls. Brenda, sing me a victory song. I always remember that. Which...
Did you want to be on the yellow team? I always wanted to be on the green team.
We do have to get back into the Hacksack Max eventually, but are you watching High School Musical Season 3?
Good. I'm not. I have seen one episode. Caden showed me one episode... What
episode?
The episode with they were playing games, but I don't know how often they've been playing games, and then what's her face got hit in the head with a basketball. Yeah.
Wait, someone got hit in the head with a basketball. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then her and Corbin Blue.
First off, you should be watching
That's the only episode. I know, I want to. I don't watch
High School Musical, the musical, the series, very quickly has taken the guilty out of the pleasure. It's just a pleasure now. I'm having a great time.
Good, I'm glad.
I love it. I bring it up because Jason Earls is in it. And, like, where has he been?
I think you mentioned he's, like, the camp counselor, right?
He's like, the camp security guard. Yeah.
Huh. That's so cool. That's so crazy.
I know. In the first episode, I was like, that guy looks so familiar. That can't be Jason Earls. It absolutely is.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Jason, the Duke of Earls. Anyways, this whole conversation about Disney Channel Summer started because Disney Channel Summer 2007. Disney aired a weekly program starting with June 8th called The Road to High School Musical 2, where every week they would show like little behind the scenes footage of the making of the movie, which I definitely remember. The premiere of this movie drew, you ready for this? 17.2 million people, making it not only the most watched DCOM in history, a record it still holds, but at that time, the most watched basic cable telecast in history, and still to this day, the most watched made-for-cable movie ever.
I don't think anything should top it. I cannot think of anything as important. I cannot, period.
I agree. It had the largest audience of any program on cable or broadcast television in the summer of 2007. And then it was aired two more times that weekend, and the total viewership of the whole premiere weekend was 33.04 million viewers. Craziness.
I'm pretty sure I was like 1,000 of them with my TiVo. I watched it 1,000,000 times that weekend, I swear.
The soundtrack to this movie debuted at number one and went certified double platinum within 1 week. The album,
huh?
It is, I know, it's so crazy.
That blows my fucking mind.
The album spent 4 consecutive weeks at number one.
Well, yeah.
What time is it? Reached number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was the best-selling album of all of 2007. Kanye West's album Graduation came out this year and got beat out by High School Musical 2.
What are other albums that came out in 2007? Let me tell you a few albums that came out in 2007. Minutes to Midnight by Linkin Park. Infinity on High by Fall Out Boy. The Best Damn Thing, Avril Lavigne. Favorite Worst Nightmare, Arctic Monkeys. It won't Be Soon Before Long by Maroon 5. And just kidding. I thought that was Cascada. It was someone Bright Eyes. That's almost Cascada.
None of them as good as High School Musical 2.
No.
Can you double check that this is the best selling album of 2007? Because sometimes Wikipedia lies, and I don't want to say that and then have it be misinformation.
Oh, yeah. So it lied.
Oh, I was afraid of that.
So the biggest album that came out in 2007 is Good Girl Gone Bad by Rihanna. And then Josh Groban, Noel. And then Leon Lewis, Mika, Linkin Park, Graduation by Kanye West, Alicia Keys. I'm just saying it was number 13, according to bestsellingalbum.org.
What on earth, Wikipedia? Okay, well, it was the 13th best-selling album, 2007. Maybe they did that dumb thing where it's, like, the best-selling soundtrack album, but then they just, like, leave out the keyword soundtrack. Oh, there's not a chance that another movie in 2007 beat it. Hairspray also came out this year, and Hear Me Out, a banger, but I doubt that Hairspray sold more copies than this.
No.
Well, scratch that. Kanye's Graduation came out this year and did, in fact, beat High School Musical 2, so shoot.
Right.
Well, oh well. Much like the first movie, a stage production was created, which is such a niche show to be doing.
I know. I don't think I've ever seen High School Musical 2 on stage.
I agree. And I looked it up, and I don't think any professional productions have ever been done in the U.S. Because, you know, High School Musical 1 had, like, that tour that went around. that like Disney yes. produced. It seems like for High School Musical 2, they just wrote a script and then gave it to MTI and were like, do what you will. And it doesn't seem to be very popular. So, which and honestly then MTI makes sense. Said,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. MTI it said, seems like in so. Like this, just the spectacle with this, like being set not in a high school and being set like at a pool and like a country club. Like, I don't know how to put on that, well, that show. It like just thinking also, about it.
Also, it's a sequel. Which stage sequels yeah. are a bad idea anyway, because you need to have seen the first one to understand them. And unlike a movie, you can't be like, well, let's watch the first one the night before. And yes, totally. You could just watch the movie High School Musical 1, but people aren't doing that. And so, you know, like mm-mm. when your kid's in High School Musical, their grandparents can come and just see the show mm-hmm. with no context.
Because they're new characters. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Whereas High School Musical 2, mm-hmm. you think your grandparents were watching High School Musical 2 when it premiered in 2007? Sadly, mine mm-hmm. were not. They were not among the 17.2 yeah. million people. Okay.
They could have been.
So, this whole movie, not the whole movie, but 90% of the movie, was filmed at the Inn at Entrada in St. George, Utah. Which is about 45 minutes away from where we went to college. I don't know why I have never been to this place.
I've driven past. I've never been, though.
I know. I've driven past, like, the front gate, I think, before. And every time, mm-hmm. not every time, but most of the times I go to St. George, I'm always like, this is High School Musical 2. And mm-hmm. I just have never tried to go to the Inn at Entrada, which is frankly a crying shame because I really wish I had so I that know. I had some stories to tell right now. However, that shot of Sharpay driving to Lava Springs, mm-hmm. I was like, this bitch is going to Tuacon. Like, I know those mountains.
I know, literally, I was like, that is the Tuacon roads. I was convinced it was.
What I'm fairly certain it is. I'm fairly certain that's the road you take to Tuacon. Because I was like, I would know those mountains anywhere.
Anywhere.
She's going to go see David Archuleta and Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Tuacon. That's where she's going.
I love, oh my God. I don't know if you felt this way, but all throughout college. So we went to college in a small town called Cedar City, which is 45 minutes away from St. George, which is where High School Musical is. I going to St. George to me in college was an oasis. Like St. George had the mall. It had like good restaurants and like fun places and like the beautiful mountains. Like going to St. George was like totally like a place I would go to like relax and like, you know, just get away from college mm-hmm. for a second. So seeing High School Musical 2, after my college experience and like after having like St. George be such a special place to me, oh my God, this movie was making me so emotional. I was like, I was like, not me missing St. George, Utah. Like, I was like, I miss it so bad. It was just so special to me. I don't know.
Nothing made Cedar City feel smaller to me. Mm-hmm. Than the times that I would go to St. George as an escape, be like, I need to get out of the small town. I need to go to a place where things are happening. I would drive to St. George and then quickly realize, oh, nothing's happening here either.
I know. I know, but they do have a Sonic and you can go get a Slurpee.
I was like, the fact that the big city, like the place that I'm going to, you know, get out of my small town and like be a part of something mm-hmm. bigger is like it has a Sonic, it has an In-N-Out, and it has like a Brookstone. And yeah. I would be like, finally, some civilization. My goodness.
Thank God. Our favorite thing to do is we loved the Buffalo Wild Wings. So we would mm-hmm. always go there and get like the 25-cent wings. Oh my gosh, Buffalo Wild Wings. But yeah, sure. Or like the mall, we would just like go look at a mall. I hate the mall categorically. Like every mall I've ever been in, I have a panic attack. But something about like living in a small town is like, I just need to see a mall.
Well, I would go to the St. George Mall and just within seconds be like, there's nothing here. Like, yes, no, it literally. Legally qualifies as a mall, but it's such a small mall in such a small city that none of the big heavy hitter stores are there.
I know.
It's all just like the
like a Barnes
Sky
and Noble
mall
and that's like
stores.
It. Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. Shoot, St. George, Utah, baby.
Shout out St. George, I know.
I will say, I love High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 3. I'm having a great time. Mm-hmm. Again, I repeat. And I do like that this season has taken a more camp rock approach. I mm-hmm. like that it's now becoming a love letter to like all the DCOMs instead of just the High School Musical franchise. But with them having it take place in Salt Lake City, I am like, I would have loved for them to have gone to St. George in this season. Just so I could see it. Just so I could see them interact with it. Oh, well. Okay. Oh, well.
There's still, it's not canceled yet. They still can.
Yeah, they could, they got season 4.
I know. Come on.
So I'm certain you remember this. I'm fairly certain we have spoken about this. Disney Channel, when this movie, when this movie was first announced in 2006, maybe beginning of 2007, did a campaign where you could go on DisneyChannel.com and they were made it this big deal about, like, you have a voice in what happens in High School Musical 2. Like, go and vote. The fate of this movie is in your hands. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that commercial and going to vote and seeing the first question and being like, they're having us vote on the most unimportant background crap possible in this movie. And I got personally offended and I didn't do the survey.
No,
you could vote for stuff.
Way.
You could vote for stuff like, what is it going to say on Miss Darbus's blackboard? What is it going to say on Chad's t-shirts? What kind of sandwiches are Troy going to make for Gabriella? Is Troy going to make for Gabriella? Excuse me. And the big one, the heavy hitter, is who do you want to make a cameo in this movie? Which, of course, the winner was Miley Cyrus, hence why there is a random 2-second shot of Miley Cyrus during All for One.
Mm-hmm.
Now, overambitious 11-year-old Ian, which as an adult, I'm like, of course this wasn't the case. The logistics of that would be a nightmare. I truly thought that I was going to go on DisneyChannel.com. I was going to go to this survey and it was going to be like, what should the plot of this movie be? Essay question.
Right.
And I could just write the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
Of course that was not the case. That
no,
would be
of
the stupidest
not.
Thing ever. But I felt disrespected when I was like, oh, you want me to decide what sandwiches Troy is making? I got big ideas for the course of this franchise. How dare you?
You said, Kenny Ortega, like, get me on the phone.
Put my creativity in a box. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Oh, my God. I have never related to you less. That is so funny. I love that. I was thinking while I was watching this movie, I was like, I remember voting for all this. And to this day, as a, like a 25-year-old woman, I feel such a like responsibility. Like, I'm like, I did that. Like, I picked that
movie.
Sandwich. I picked that Miley Cyrus. I picked that t-shirt, Chad. Like, it really feels like I took a part in it.
Do you remember who the other cameo options were? I know one of them was Jason Earls.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, is it like, was it a Jonas Brothers situation? I like was trying to Google like who it was. I don't remember, but I think.
Sure.
But something leads me to believe that Miley Cyrus was like the biggest person on there. And of course she won. Like she was probably set up to win. I kept imagining while watching the last number, I was like, oh my God. To get to St. George, she probably had to fly into either Salt Lake or into Las Vegas and then get a car. And I was like, no, they've got Disney money. They can fly into St. George. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. She probably flew in on like a different day than what they were actually filming that number. She was on set for 2 hours, like an hour and a half getting into costume and makeup. They filmed her for 5 minutes, and I said, thanks, Miley. Yeah. Head back to LA.
I know.
Bye.
Bye.
I saw a tweet last night that said, did we ever figure out why Miley Cyrus has that random cameo in High School Musical 2? And I went,
someone tweeted that?
This is the generation gap. You are too young to remember
personally offensive.
That we the people voted for her. the reason that Cameo is in there is because we put her in there.
You're forgetting our history.
See, for real. Honestly, like, those
like your forefathers who are have ignorant put forth,
to
like,
history are destined to
are
repeat
doomed
it.
To repeat it. They're going to get another Miley Cyrus cameo. No,
the disrespect
is so
to your forefathers and all they sacrificed so that you could have that Miley Cyrus cameo in Camp Rock. I mean, in High School Musical 2. And you don't even know why it's there?
That is literally so fucking funny. I had never even imagined that people wouldn't know why she's in the movie. Because it's for me. That's so funny. It's weird.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, if you weren't of an age in 2006 and 2007 to remember that campaign, I'm sure you're always like, wait, what? Yeah. Why is she there?
And I was also like a little kid. Like in 2007, in 2006 when I was voting, mm-hmm. I was like 10. I was like 10 years old, you know, like I barely remember anything from when I was 10.
I also love that, you know, when they ask which of these Disney Channel stars should make a cameo, mm-hmm. I'm sure the mindset is, oh, they're going to, you know, like have a line, you know, they're going to like be in a scene. Right? They truly could not have put less effort into this. The only way that this could have been lazier is if they green screened her in. Like, Miley Cyrus does not interact with any of the cast. She does not even on screen with them. It is a close-up shot that easily could have been done on a different day. She is in a fully, like, they did not want to have to take this into account of the overall production of the movie at all. And it is so funny to me. Just this random close-up shot of this girl who has no bearing on the plot of the movie.
I know.
Amazing.
I can tell, just thinking about, like, the voting in general, I can tell it was, like, someone's idea and like they were just like kind of doing it out of obligation at that point, because like the sandwich bit, the you know, the t-shirt, that's kind of stuff you can like ease in, but especially this part, it's like, oh my god, like whose idea was this? Like, this is a movie, like this isn't like a joke, like they're like it feels this movie takes itself like pretty seriously, I would say, and to like have those cameos in there, I'm sure like it was like, you know, against some people's, you know, want.
Well, we gotta like work with this girl's schedule now too.
Oh, totally. Like, we already... like, when are we doing the finale? When are we doing that? Yeah, no, totally.
Mm-hmm. Oy. All right. So the song that plays when Sharpay is driving to Tuacon, the song that's playing on her car radio is written and performed by Lucas Graybill. Shoot, I didn't know that.
Oh, fun.
Also, in High School Musical 1, we mentioned Zac Efron's voice was not quite as high as what they had written for Troy, and so almost all of his vocals in that movie are actually Drew Seeley. Zephram was
Shout
such a breakout star that they said, the fans demand it, we cannot do that again. It is straight Zephram in this movie. Bye, Drew Seeley, you're out of a job. Have fun in another Cinderella story with Selena Gomez. Is he in that movie?
He is.
Okay, I got that right. Good, good, good. The scene in the kitchen where Troy and Chad are just being, you know, such charming, funny buddies, and they're pretending to be British, and then they skip together. It was improvised by Zac Efron and Corbin Bleu.
They own me. Like, I just love them so much. I would have sobbed, but like I am obsessed with those two. I love them.
The pink piano in Fabulous and the white piano in Every Day are the same piano.
They oh my just painted god! It.
Wow,
that's
crazy. The dude in the mohawk. You know how there's just that like one wildcat who's everywhere that has like the black hair that has a mohawk. Yep. I think he's next to Miley Cyrus. His name is Charles Clapow. He's the main choreographer for this movie.
I knew that from watching all the clips.
Oh, from The Road to High School Musical?
Uh-huh.
Well, shoot. Here he is, baby.
Hell yeah.
The grass in this movie at Lava Springs is all painted because they filmed this, I don't know when, but I'd imagine the winter. And they wanted it to look like it was summertime.
It's like February.
Yeah. They wanted it to look like it was summertime, so they painted it green. Speaking of, the color grading in this movie is on a different plane.
I'm so glad you brought it up. I wrote that down like 8 different times. It seems like they were like, let's do High School Musical 2. And they're like, awesome, what's it going to be about? And they said Zac Efron's blue fucking eyes. Like, that's the theme of this movie. Like, the color grading.
Someone took the saturation dial and they were like, does this thing go up to an 11?
Seriously, they said red rocks, blue eyes. Put it on my screen. Like, for it's real, wild.
They are like burning a hole through the camera in every shot. It's
honestly, my television will never recover. It actually like burned it. It like the color grading in this movie is wild.
This is truly when I think of High School Musical 2, I think of like bright orange, bright blue everywhere you look.
Yeah, totally.
Just like
totally.
Piercing.
And it's honestly, it's beautiful to behold and it is iconic. I think.
True. It's very
but
summer.
But it's also like, I'm glad to learn that the grass was painted because I was like, whoever was watering this lawn needs to go to federal fucking prison. Like, like that is too much. Like, it's just too green.
My final hack sacked macked is the roller coaster move and what time is it, you know, when they're... They're doing the. Sometimes I forget that podcasting is an auditory medium.
I know. And so I have especially to be able since to we've added the words. Visual. Uh huh.
I know. But you know what a roller coaster dance move is. You've all.
Totally.
You
they put their hands
the
on
2000s.
Each other's elbows and they like, they do a wave.
So that, the inspiration was that was during the dance rehearsals, they were doing a massage train. Because they were sore, and Kenny Ortega saw it, and he said, light bulb. And that's when that got out.
They were a bunch of horny 19-year-olds, too.
Seriously, just trying to, like, get their hands on each other. Massage
that's
train.
That's so gross. If I saw that, I'd be like, don't. I'd be like, get away from each other. I wouldn't say put that in my movie. I'd say, get that away, get away from each other.
She'd be like, everyone 6 feet apart.
I have a hack sax max about that. Have you ever tried to do that dance move?
No.
It's not a hack sax max. We put it in my 7th grade musical and it was so hard. I like we could not get it. We could not get it. I remember we wanted to do it in one line and then it wasn't working out. So we like split it up into like 3 lines. Mm-hmm. Like, so like everyone, you know, it was just smaller lines and it was so hard. And I remember it being hard for me. And I like wasn't frustrated with everyone else. I was frustrated with myself because I like couldn't get it. I don't know why it was so difficult. Maybe it was because I was like 14 and everything was difficult, but oh my God.
Sure. Well,
that's my fun fact about that dance. So
those are your hacks, hacks, max.
So fun. I love this movie. I talk a big game, a really, 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 really big game that I think High School Musical 2 is the best in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I still think that's true after this rewatch. Just because I loved High School Musical so much. And this one, like, didn't hold up to that to me. But I still love this movie so GD much. I know. Maybe I think HSM1 is the best. I don't know. I'm learning and growing. But, like, especially, there were scenes in there that I was like, this doesn't exist to me. Like, I was, like, I felt kind of lost. It didn't feel as iconic as High School Musical 1. I know. That really, like, crumbled your world. I am really sorry. I love this movie. Do you think it's better than High School Musical 1?
That was shocking. I feel blindsided.
I know.
I think that High School Musical 1 is more iconic. It's the most iconic of the franchise. Yeah. I think, like, that's pretty undeniable. Like, when you think of High School Musical, you think of Breaking Free. You think of All in This Together. You think of Troy in the white tracksuit and Gabriella in the red dress with the lab coat. I mean, those are two different scenes. But like red dress or the like pink dress, the lab coat.
Yeah.
I think the first one is more iconic just because like that's, you know, the spark that ignited the flame. I think in terms of quality of movie, this one blows the first one out of the water.
No, I completely agree.
The critics agree. A lot of the reviews when this came out was like, it's better than the first movie.
And yeah, so, I hear that.
I understand the first one's more iconic. And when this movie, I'll be honest, when this movie started out, the first few scenes, I was like, oh, is this movie, I mean, is it bad is the wrong thing to say, because a lot of the High School Musical franchise is bad. It kind of works so well in spite of itself.
Yeah, and but, like, what does bad even mean in terms of, like, yeah, you know, a DCOM? Like, I think it's on a different scale than, like, you know,
yeah,
other movies. But like, I'm not thinking it's bad.
I was nervous that, oh, am I going to be disappointed by this rewatch? And very quickly I realized, no, I'm not. I had a great time.
I'm glad.
I don't think it's the best one in the trilogy. I have never thought that, but I think it's better than the first one.
And I think where I'm coming from is I have, like, talked this movie up for years. And I think it's been a while since I've rewatched it. And I was like, huh, I don't know that this is my favorite of the three. And I do think I liked the first one more in general. I love this movie, though. And I have lots of thoughts on how I think that parts of this movie are the best thing that has ever happened to cinema, period. Like, bar none. There are, like, moments in this movie that have, like, changed me as a person and, like, the fabric of my being. But yeah, especially, like, after, like, the Sharpay number was added back into Disney Plus, it just, like, rocked my fucking world. I was like, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. And there were so many scenes after that where I was like, this does not exist in the movie that I thought was in my head. But I don't know. I don't know.
Where do we want to start? Do we want to, I don't know. Where do we want to start?
We could talk about, like, character by character. We could talk about, like, overall feelings. We could talk about, like, song by song. I like a character by character type deal when it comes to this.
Okay, let's do character by character. In that case, maybe I do want to talk about my overall ideas. Here's why I think that High School Musical 2 is better than High School Musical 1.
Okay, tell
me. High School Musical 1. Great movie. Great. Uh-huh. Star-crossed lovers, Romeo and Juliet, you know, we love it.
Totally.
Ultimately, with High School Musical 1, the whole movie is Troy, Gabriella, and Sharpay. Every other character is an extension of those three. Every other character is an extension of their plot lines. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, I eat the story up for dinner, I'm not complaining. It's also like, within the first 5 minutes, you know how this is going to end. Like, it is exactly what you think.
Totally.
High School Musical 2, those three are still very much our anchor. But we are getting Chad storylines. We are getting
Ryan storylines. You know how I love Ryan.
And we don't really get a whole Taylor storyline.
A whole queer subplot? Hello?
Yeah. We got homosexuality in this one.
2007 on the Disney Channel, y'all.
Those two banged in the bathroom after the baseball game. Why else would they have swapped clothes? I'm so sorry. Like, I know that, like, it's funny to be like they're in love.
It's, and here, I'm not laughing.
It is funny, but it's also true.
It's just the truth.
Yes, I 100% see that I don't dance as a number. There could be unintentional sexual tension there that the choreographers and the director did not
see coming,
but, like, ended up in the number. But the decision to then have them swap clothes, I'm like, you know what you're doing.
No, Kenny Ortega did that on purpose. No, that's purpose.
You said the Disney Channel won't let us make these two gay canonically. I'm going to slip it in under their radar. I don't care. I Don't Dance ends with Chad's face practically in Ryan's crotch.
I didn't miss it.
I didn't miss that.
I didn't miss it either. I was like, oh my God. And then, so, like, I had always, like, you know, when people talk about I Don't Dance, we always say, like, they swapped outfits. Like, you know, you say that. But, like, seeing it actually, like, why on earth would two friends trade shirts or hats or anything?
Or, like, pants?
I've never... The pants!
the pants of it all.
You and me, two platonic buddies. We ever traded clothes? The answer is no.
No.
No. People don't do that.
They're in love. There's also the shot right before I Don't Dance, when they're having their little sexual tension face off. And Chad says to Ryan, "You think you got game?" Looks him up and down. Fully checks him out 100%. I said, there's no heterosexual explanation for this.
No. You can't lie to me.
My actual note, where's I Don't Dance? Here it is. My actual note is, the way Chad looks him up and down before saying you got game,
about just to eat him up
already.
Literally. Oh my God. Let's talk about I Don't Dance. Now that we're here, I just want to talk about it. Okay.
Great.
I'm glad we're talking about it. Do you know anything about sports?
I played 2 years of T-ball and 1 year of regular baseball before I quit. Hey. So absolutely.
Oh my God. Hey, that's 3 years. That's 3 years of experience. Put that on your resume. I have played one baseball game for the Broadway Baseball League, and then I quit promptly because I fought that. I hated it. But literally, these two boys, Lucas Grabeel and Finn, you know him, you love him, the love of my life, Corbin Blue, they are so bad at baseball. They are so bad at baseball. Neither of them ever really hit the ball. Chad hits it one time, but it's like one of those, they must have like thrown it really slow because he like is holding it funky. I don't know if it's about sports, so I could be talking out of my ass, but it just made me laugh like watching it as an adult. And I remember thinking they were all so good at it. And I was like, no, these two are, they're just like having fun. And like, they're trying to make them look as cool as possible. It's very funny to me. Especially, it's hard to hit a ball. I've never been able to do it.
Ryan is pitching and he throws the baseball straight at Chad to the point that Chad has to jump out of the way. Mm-hmm. And then Chad does this gesture like, what the crap? And Ryan could kind of does a, hey, you know, that's just the game. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
If you as the pitcher threw the ball at the player,
you get to take a base.
Yeah. If you hit them, they take a base.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's, I don't remember the term because you guys, I quit baseball 15 years ago. But it's like, if the pitcher throws the ball out of bounds three times, then you get to take a base. And then if they hit the player one time, they get to take a base. I know because, not to brag, but the only time I ever got to first base when I was playing baseball and not T-ball was because the pitcher was so bad, he threw it out of bounds three times and I got to walk to first
He said, suck it.
I scored.
That's so funny.
I scored a point that game. It was the only point I scored all season.
I love that. That's awesome. I played the one game at my Broadway Baseball League, and I told you about this, Ian, but it was like so embarrassingly bad. I was like, I'll probably be okay. I'm like, you know, generally coordinated. No, it was awful. I was like, I could probably hit it. No, I can't like it. No, it is like so hard.
Baseball's also frightening. That ball comes at you fast. That was my biggest thing, is it was just like the terror of the ball hitting me and me like hitting it on the back bat wrong and it bouncing off and hitting my face. I can't do baseball.
No way.
I don't dance, but I don't play baseball. I know you can. But speaking of them being bad at baseball, I do think that of the sports, like, of the main sports, baseball is the most musical theater, and maybe that's just because of, like, damn Yankees. I don't know.
But I feel
like if I ever meet a male dancer who, like, played sports as a kid, it's always baseball. If a man ever leaves sports for musical theater, the sport he left was baseball. Baseball is represented in so many different musicals. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are so many examples of kind of, like, a dancey baseball game. And I love a dancey baseball game. I love a baseball game where people are doing toe touches and people are doing back handsprings. Mm-hmm. However, some of the stunts in this number, while impressive, are so counterproductive to the game that they're trying to play. that it like fully takes me out of it. Like, I understand, you know.
Would you say it takes you out to the ball game?
Actually, I just got a text. They're moving up my rehearsal 2 hours. I have to go. Shit. I can't keep recording this episode. Sorry.
Well, see you later. It'll just be me talking about dumb jokes.
It takes me out to the ball game. Mm-hmm. Moves like the hitter is running to base and the first baseman comes in with the ball and the hitter jumps over his head and does a toe touch. Very fun. A great way to add acrobats into the game.
Yeah.
A move like second baseman for no reason does a back handspring, not going towards the ball, not trying to catch the person who's running to second base, just like pulls it out of his ass. Stuff like that. I'm like, you could have thought about this a little better, especially because baseball is, you know, a game where you're moving around a lot. So have him do the back handspring and then like tag out the player. I don't know. Some of these stunts are just so not forwarding the actual gameplay that I find it comical.
I hear that. I hear that. And I think like in choreography in general, like my favorite type of choreography is like motivated through like real life. And I feel like especially like stunt wise, sometimes it like gets out of hand in this number. But it's also like you're so right. There's so many ways they could have like made it all make sense and make it look like as theatrical as possible.
Yeah. I want to play ball, not dance hall. I'm making a triple, not a curtain call.
So, like, what the fuck? Ate that up for dinner. Can we talk about the dance with the baseball bats for a second? Like, when they're all, like, on the field dancing together. How are they not hitting each other in the face? It is the most frightening moment of this entire movie when they're, like, doing it, like, over their shoulders, like, swinging it around and, like, above their heads. I'm like, there is no way they could be standing this close together. They are, like, so winging in those. It was really spooky.
Well, I did it. Shoot.
It was really spooky.
Hear me out.
Hearing you.
Chad's very fun in High School Musical 1, but they don't do anything with him. I love how much they wrote for Corbin Bleu in this movie and how they realized that Corbin Bleu is a song and dance man.
Yeah.
Let's give him a little song and dance.
Yeah.
A very, very fun number.
I appreciate you bringing it up.
Ryan wearing an all-white expensive outfit to play baseball, a game that takes place on red dirt. Very brave of him.
So brave.
Oh, truly wild choice, but I support him, I guess. He doesn't get a speck of dust on that outfit the whole game. He clearly never hit the ball and never ran to first base.
Not a sportsman. I'm so glad you brought this up. First of all, we know that Corbin Bleu is the love of my life. Like, you know, a very special person to me and my development. I love Corbin Bleu so much. And he is so fucking good in this movie. I fully think I forgot about what this movie was about. Like, when it comes to, like Zac Efron. Troy ditching his team and, like, getting them these jobs and, like, ditching them and, like, I like Sharpay being part of this movie so much, I like think I forgot what this movie was about. But anchoring this story as this friend who just like wanted to hang out with his buddy and like was so excited to like be a busboy with his friend and like, you know, make some money to like get a car to like take his girlfriend out and like just being so hurt and like he's so talented and so good. Like, I'm so glad he's in this movie more. Oh my God. Chad Danforth, I love you. He is so good in this movie.
I can't believe that I'm the one in this conversation who has to defend this movie. This is why it's better than the first one.
Oh, no. My God, hear me out. You know how much I hold these movies in high regard. I mean that as a compliment to High School Musical 1.
I get you.
Not a dig at HSM 2. I love HSM 2. You know I do.
In High School Musical 1... everyone who isn't Troy and Gabriella, their motivation is just, you know, stick to the status quo, which I'm not against it. The movie works. This is not a knock on High School Musical 1, but it is very much, you know, our cliques have to remain cliques for no reason, just because that's the high school hierarchy. This movie, we got points of view. We got perspectives. We see where everyone's coming from. We understand. We get why Chad is being passive aggressive towards Troy. We totally understand where he's coming from. We also, while like we don't agree with Troy's doing, we see how he kind of got into this mess. We see all the amazing things that could happen for his future. Also, something I love about this movie that I had not noticed before this. They really make Sharpay a tragic character in this movie.
I know. I do feel bad for her.
She's 100% the villain. She's doing stuff she should not do. But they, whereas in High School Musical 1, she's just kind of like the comedic spoiled diva villain. In this movie, they make it so clear that everyone hates this girl. Every time her back is turned on anyone, they're rolling their eyes at her.
I know,
her
literally.
Her own brother stabs her in the back. And hear me out. It's warranted. Like
she deserves it.
Yeah, she's not a victim in this situation. Like, it's brought on by her own actions. But she's written in a way, which I was so surprised. I was like, how have I never noticed this before? That, like, while you don't agree with what she's doing, you see where she's coming from. Where it's like, this girl has never learned, because she has just been praised and lauded and spoiled since she was a child. She has never learned how to make friends. She does not, it's very Rachel Berry. She does not know how to have a positive relationship with another person that isn't them just like praising her and complimenting her and all of that stuff. And
or like doing something for her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, she's just trying to get human connection by, you know, being a star. And there are so many moments in this movie. Oh, the scene when Troy agrees to sing with Sharpay at the end after he left the number, but he agrees to come back and sing with her with the caveat that she will allow all of his friends to perform in the show. They will take back the new rule that said that employees can't perform and they'll be allowed to perform. And Sharpay says to him, "I just sort of wish you were doing this for me." And that line is so weirdly heartbreaking.
I know.
That, you know, she's been like a monster to Troy all summer. She's been so manipulative to Troy all summer. But in her brain, she genuinely thinks like, oh, he could really like me and this could be a good relationship for me. And like, I could have someone in my life who cares about me. And then she realizes in that moment, he literally is only going to help me out to help his other friends, not me.
I know. When I say that I like forgot about what this movie was about, I especially mean the stuff with Sharpay. And not that I didn't remember that she was like setting him up with like the scholarship people, but like she is the lead of this movie. Far more so than Gabriella to me. Like, it to me was like, oh, people really like connected with this Sharpay character. Ashley Tisdale's so funny. Let's put her in kind of a bigger role in this movie. Like, Gabriella is in this movie. None. I was like, is she like not like, was there like scheduling conflicts that she like couldn't be here for this movie? Cause she is fully like not in it very much. Like, it's, I have thoughts about that, but like, she is like, Sharpay is the lead of this movie, and I really enjoy that, and I think it's really awesome, and especially like her relationship with Ryan especially is so cool to me in this movie, and I just think Ashley Tisdale is so talented and cool and awesome, and I totally agree. I like feel bad for the girl, but it's also like I appreciate this movie so much because it we know that she's doing wrong things, and like Gabriella like calling her out and being like, you are ruining our lives, like, you know, and everyone like kind of hating her. I don't know, I feel bad for her, and I like how this movie is set up, like we know that she's the villain, and I appreciate that. I think that's a really interesting character to like witness and see. I'm into it.
Yeah, I think she's far more interesting in this movie than she is in the first one.
Completely. She is the villain in this movie. I do feel bad for her.
You know? The moment during Every Day when they're performing at the talent show and, you know, Ryan, frankly, did his sister dirty, 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 dirty by going behind her back, changing the song to one she doesn't know so that she will have no choice but to not sing. He definitely could have handled that better. That was a really underhanded thing to do to his sister when she was in emotional turmoil. But, you know, he did it. But then
Ryan's had a tough summer. I don't know.
He came out. He started accepting who he is during this summer. Shoot. He learned some things about himself. But when they're singing every day and everyone's having a great time on stage and Sharpay is just on the side watching, and then Troy runs over and grabs her hand and brings her on stage, it generally made me cry a little bit.
Aww, I love that.
Because it's just, you know, like you said, she's the villain. Mm-hmm. We're not making excuses for her. But at her heart, she's a very lonely person. And so, like, if anything is going to cause this girl to change and treat other people better, mm-hmm. it's going to be, you know, them not putting up with her crap. But then after they call her out on it, then, like, extending a hand towards her and showing her some compassion, and that's what's going to get her to start being a more tolerable person to be around.
Totally. And it's so sad to, like, I think she, like, sees herself totally like a Rachel Berry, where it's like all of her worth is in her winning this contest, is mm-hmm. in her winning the talent show, and all her worth is in her, like, getting the leads in the school musical. And she sees Troy Bolton and she's like, oh, he's getting leads. This guy's cool. This guy's awesome. This guy fits
into... This guy's the hottie super bomb.
Totally. This guy's the hottie super bomb. This guy fits into, like, what I see for myself. I'm going to do everything in my power to, like, make it make sense for us. And, like, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to, like, her manipulating him with her money and, like, trying to, like, get him to, like, ditch his friends to, like, go meet with, like, you know, scholarship people. Like, I feel bad for the girl, but it's also, like, this is probably, like, all she knows. Like, you know, she, like, doesn't mm-hmm. know how to make a friend that's not her own brother, who is literally, like, someone who shared a womb with her. Like, you know, that's a built-in friend. I don't know. I feel bad for the girl, but it's also, like, it's, I don't know, it's just such an interesting story to tell. I really love watching it. Can we talk about Ryan in this movie? I just want to say, like, another person who's having a tough summer. He learned a lot about himself this summer, but he does such a good job at feeling so betrayed by his sister. And I didn't really get this before. I mean, I got it before, obviously. I've seen the movie, but, like, adding Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apua'a back in, you see, like, her actively betraying him, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing that, like, oh, Sharpay is literally, like, kicking Ryan out of the stuff that they do together. And then he's not a part of, you know, the staff. He doesn't get invited to staff events. He doesn't, like, have anyone if he doesn't have Sharpay. And seeing him, like, realize that, and then seeing him, like, get more in with the Wildcats, I just loved that part.
Well, I love Ryan, not only with Sharpay, but with his entire family, mm-hmm. feels like he's getting replaced.
Totally.
You see a lot of, you know, we first meet the Evans parents, which a very interesting choice, and frankly, one that I really like, is that in your mind, Sharpay's parents are probably monsters. Like, look at this girl that they raised. Yeah. And then I love meeting them and being like, no, they seem to have a pretty healthy relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And yes, they definitely spoiled Sharpay, but, like, overall, they're pretty attentive
parents.
But they
seem like
and,
good
like,
people.
Care about their kids.
Totally. Yeah.
Watching the four Evans go golfing together, I was like, let's do a spinoff. I would watch, like, the Evans Family sitcom. This is fun.
Literally, when Ryan goes to putt into the thing and then the mom backboards it and then pushes it into the hole and they're like, yeah! It's my favorite part of the whole movie. I swear to God, I was like, I love these people.
Well, I love when the dad gets off the helicopter and he goes to his wife and he says, is that a new outfit? And she says, oh, yes, I got it this morning. What about yours? And he says, this mm-hmm. old thing, I got it last week. But
they are seriously, like, I really enjoy watching them.
We see as the movie goes on that Troy is starting to get more and more attention in the Evans family, and Ryan feels like he's starting to get replaced. You know, like he's starting to get left behind. They're at dinner and everyone's just talking about Troy, and his parents are talking about like how great Troy is and talking him up. And Ryan just like fully feels left out of his own family.
Yeah.
I just think this, like, you know, Ryan in High School Musical 1 is a fun character, but he's just kind of Sharpay's lackey. And giving him independence in this movie and giving him an arc and the parallels of Ryan and Troy switching places, where Troy becomes sucked into the bourgeoisie, whereas Ryan like joins the working class and becomes a man of the people. And you know, like starts a revolution and overthrows his sister.
I love this.
Let me tell you. No, this movie is like so anti-capitalist, and that's just not me saying it.
I love that.
Hey, it's present day Ian again. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. How have you been? What? That's crazy. No way. I'm so happy for you. That's the end of our little sneak preview. If you would like to hear the rest of our episode, you can find it on our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. You do have to join the Patreon to hear it, though. I hate to tell you. Thank you so much for being here. See you next week. Go spread some High School Musical 2 Glee, Wildcats. Bye.